So we're going to stay in the vein of medical interaction with patients, and Kurt Wilson will take us up. I've got somebody who's had their hand up first. Not much more medical stuff, no, plenty more medical stuff. Right, so Kurt Wilson, please.
Oh, hello everyone. Thank you very much for letting me come along and talk to you today. So I'm a bit of background about me. I'm a lecturer at Manchester Medical School, where I teach the students about prescribing and medicine safety. And I'm also a student there myself at the moment. I'm undertaking an MD examining talk about medicines using some applied CA. And I'd like to present part of my work from my data today, looking at a review of how patients and where patients placed requests for prescription medicines in my data from primary care. So, just a very brief bit of background. Prescription of medicines is obviously a very common thing to happen in primary care. We use medicines for treatment of acute and chronic illness, as you know, both for treating the actual disease itself, for example, antibiotics, or for treating symptoms that are related to that disease, such as analgesia and the like, or modifying disease processes. And we also use it for prevention of disease, so antihypertensives or folic acid in pregnancy, vaccination, to support lifestyle choices, so things like contraception. So it won't be a surprise, perhaps, that prescription of medicines is an extremely common task, with more than 1 billion items of medicines prescribed in 2013, for example. So on that basis, I wanted to look a little bit about, talk about medicines in primary care and find out what was happening in the northwest of England. So just moving back to CA and that perspective a little again, the GP, as Ten has pointed out, really acts as a gatekeeper to lots of medical services. And GPs and patients sort of orientate themselves to a membership categorisation, with the GP acting as both a medical expert but also a service provider during the consultation with their patients. And I think that there's some joint commitments to the tasks related to health and illness, but there's some interactional challenges and dilemmas faced by both participants in this process. So that was my research question from the data that we collected. How and where patients were placing and designing their requests for medicines, and then how GPs were handling those. And I'm going to focus on the first part today because we haven't time to look at the second part, but that's obviously also of great interest to me. So again, just looking at requests from a CA perspective, Shagloff nicely summarises what we mean: a directive action designed to bring about the transference of an object or service from one participant to another. And then we have a bit more definition as to what we mean by request, rather than, say, for example, proposal, offer or suggestion, from Cooper Coolen there. So it's something that can place a burden on the person that's faced by that request, and the requestee might be aware of that burden that they're placing. So, being backwards now. There's lots and lots, as you're all very aware, much more aware than me, I can tell, with all the expertise we have in the room, but we've got lots of research related to medical consultation using CA and also requests and their design. And I just put that slide together quickly just to thank all of those very useful papers out there and the authors, some of whom are present in the room. So let's have a look at what we saw in our data. Let's look at where the requests were placed, first of all. And when we do this, we need to think about the sequences that might occur, and the different sort of activities that go on within consultation. So again, this is obviously well recognised to all of you that have been in consultation with your general practitioners, but after greetings we often have patients establishing the reason for their visit. Then we might have some normally doctor-led history taking, sometimes physical examination, oftentimes some kind of diagnosis, discussion about diagnosis, and then treatment plans or investigation plans before farewells. So in our data we saw some of the patients placing a request for medicine during their first turn at talk as they opened their consultation and established the reason for their visit, and we expected to see that. Also, not unexpectedly, I saw that patients sometimes placed requests following post pre-closure statements from the doctor, so the doctor wrapping things up or placing that, and then the patient responding with another problem that needed to be dealt with. And then interestingly, we also saw some requests were just touched off by talk at other places during the consultation, during other activities, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. So just before we show you, I'll show you some examples from my data, just a very brief overview of what we had. So we've got 69 consultations that have been recorded across five practices, with 8 GPs taking part. And we saw requests actually occur in 21 of those consultations, the majority being at consultation openings, but as we expected, some post-pre-closure and some touched off by talk during other activities in the consultation. I think the ones touched off by talk are particularly interesting because, as I'll show you in a second, I hope, this was where there was a place in the consultation where the talk provided both a prompt and a moment where it was locally relevant for the patient to make a request for a medicine. So, let's start off with this one now then. So, this is a gentleman who's coming to see his GP. This is the opening phase of the consultation. He's telling the GP that he's had difficulty with a sickness certificate that needs for his work, and he also needs some medicine that he takes for his depression. And we'll see how the GP handles this. Hopefully I can click on the right, I can see why people are struggling. It's hard on this small screen. Let's see now.
Now, I've been in and I said, well, they sat and the other they said, well, yeah, we're in the wrong for that. You should have, you always need a valid sick note to be paid. But we've had the conversation and we've heard from the person that you spoke to, and that was correct what they said, they were wrong. So I'm here, A, to get some more tablets, and B, to get a sick note from the last time I should have had it.
Not a problem.
As it happens, I haven't got time to show you, but it was a problem, but that's a bit of a... we could perhaps look at that next time. So, the GP met with immediate agreement on both those topics that the patient had been talking about as part of his establishing his reasons for visiting the doctor that day. Let's just... look at one that was placed post pre-closure statement. So for this is a lady who's come along to see her GP. In a previous consultation, she complained of urinary frequency and recurrent urinary tract infections. And the GP agreed that what she needed to do was come along and have a pelvic exam. The GP sees her, the pelvic exam has been completed, and the GP has told her that she thinks that she has a prolapse but needs some more information, including an ultrasound scan of her pelvis. So the GP is just in the middle of trying to sort out a scan request, and they've come to sort of a pre-closure point in the consultation here. So the first thing you'll notice is the 51 seconds of typing, which I won't play for you. We'll just catch up at the end for you. But the poor lady had to sit there for 51 seconds. So let's just see if it'll make this one play. So in this example, we can see that the GP, the patient, placed the request following a preliminary announcement, a pre-request, perhaps with some recognition of this as a dispreferred action at this point in the consultation. And again, I'd love to be able to do it with the GP, but the GP used it as a sort of bargaining tool. But anyway, that's another talk. So, what about the ones that perhaps we hadn't predicted we would see a lot of in the data? So those that were touched off by talking consultation, a space that provided both a prompt and a moment when it was locally relevant to make a request. So let's just have a look at this one. So this is a lady who has fallen 6 months prior to the consultation. She's been seeing lots of different practitioners. She'd been to see an osteopath, physiotherapist, MSK NHS service that helps people with lots of post-injury problems. So that was her sort of account for why she was visiting. She was really fed up and she wanted to know where she was going next. The GP had talked through lots of correspondence that they'd received from the various clinicians, and they were sort of trying to talk about the plan, and it prompted a request for medicines. So hang on, let's see if I can make this work.
Just a bit grim, really. I'm not sure where and how I proceed. I'm going to keep pain. Keep taking pain.
Oh, okay. What painkillers are you taking?
Well, I'm really stuck. I need some more ibuprofen, please.
So we can see that this is not something that the patient had perhaps thought about, but the talk in the consultation had prompted that request, and it was locally relevant to make it there as the GP was asking about her medicines. Let's just look at another one like that. So this is a patient who suffers with high cholesterol. She's taking a statin, and she'd come for her annual blood check. So she came to see the GP to discuss her cholesterol results, her blood result from that. And the GP shared the information, which was very, the GP was very pleased with the result. So let's just see what happens here.
So what is it that you're doing right?
I don't know.
I think you're doing something right.
Yeah.
You're on atorvastatin 40. No, you're on atorvastatin 80, aren't you? So I'll just take this one off the prescription.
Can I have
my
repeat prescription
one on there,
please?
Okay, so that was a bit about placement, which was the start of the way that I looked at my data and where those placements fell in the data set. But then I wanted to look at a bit the way the requests were actually designed, and was particularly thinking about entitlement. And then after reading Paul Drew and Tracy Curl's paper looking at calls to out-of-hours doctors versus calls that happen between families, it really prompted me to think about orientations to known or anticipated contingencies and whether these were displayed in the patient's requests for medicines. And I found that they were displayed in 10 of the 21 examples that I collected. So I'll just show you a couple just so we can have a look at what we mean. Before I do, though, I'll just show you this one. This is a lady where I don't think there's an orientation to potential contingencies in the supply of the medicine, but there is a lot of reasoning before she places her request. But so we can contrast, I'll show you the two types of example that I think we can see. So this is a lady who suffers with depression, and she's come to talk to the doctor about her medicines, her antidepressants.
I'm on antidepressants, and I ran out. So for 3 weeks, I haven't had any.
Okay.
And I thought I could handle it. I had an appointment with Dr. Colabella,
that
you
said.
Yeah. I think I had that about a week ago. I said to him, I think I'll see how it goes with the problem before the end, but I don't think I'm ready to do that yet.
Okay.
So I've come to you to read the prescription, please.
Tell me a bit more about it. How long have you been on the thing?
So I think here we can see that the patient's given some reasoning, she's been going through what has happened up to the point of her request, but I think the please sort of tagged on the end, I could say it was polite, but there's maybe a bit of insistence there, so I've come to you to renew my prescription, please. That's something that she wants to happen. So we'll contrast that with a request where I think there might be some orientation to potential contingencies. So this is a gentleman, again, this is an opening request, both are opening requests so far, and this is a gentleman with some shoulder pain.
I had some physio, well, I got an appointment for physio on my shoulder.
Yes.
When I went to start a physio, he was basically saying to leave any problem permanently, it involved a surgery, but I don't want to have surgery, but it's kind of started again to work, it's quite consistent.
Right.
I was wondering if it's like a light painkiller option that
right.
he could
okay.
have.
Are you all right if I just have a look at the letters and see what he had to make of it?
Yeah,
thank you.
So here we have a bit of a different request design, something that the patient was wondering about. If there's like a light pain colour option, maybe could have some orientation to potential contingencies in that request. This was a request for a new medicine, and out of the 10 requests we saw with contingencies orientated to, 8 were for new medicines. I'll show you one more example. So that on that occasion we can see that the doctor's deferred a decision, but let's see another example where it doesn't go quite so well for the patient. So this is a gentleman who's come to see a doctor with elbow pain, and he's due to have a steroid injection. He also, during the opening account for his visit, he mentions his back pain and makes a request for some medicine. And again, I think there's some orientation to contingencies.
I can't get rid of this backache.
Right.
Been taking me stronger painkillers, that's helped.
Yeah.
And the other lady doctor, she gave me some of these, some diazide.
Yes.
I've only got one left.
Right. Has it helped at all?
I've only been using them at night time, and I've been waking up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get out of bed because
right.
I've had a good night's sleep. And I'm just wondering if there's the same or something, because I've been getting some good nights.
Right.
I'm not talking during the day.
Okay. The problem with these is they are effective.
I know.
But they're addictive.
I know.
And I really don't think they need to give me another prescription for
yeah.
them. Getting to that time where...
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Now.
And the last
yeah.
thing, you know, we're just going to create a problem.
So there were some contingencies there. The patient was right to recognise them, and that request for a prescribed medicine was refused. So a quick summary for questions. I think that we saw within the data I collected that the requests were placed at consultation openings and post pre-closure, as I thought it would be, but also it was interesting to see that some of those requests for medicines were touched off by consultation conversation elsewhere within that consultation process during different activities. I think some of the requests displayed orientation to known or anticipated contingencies, but regardless of that, just about all of the patient's requests displayed some reasoning, a process of reasoning that the patient wanted to share with the doctor.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kurt. We do have time. Oh, people are jumping up. So,
yeah.
Nicky Barnes first and Alison Pilney.
Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
It's a great topic to look at. And well done.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, with some of your emerging patterns that are coming out, whether it might be really useful to maybe split them up a bit into the different types of request. So I think you did mention some of them are repeats, renewals, and re-prescriptions. And I think they might be subtly different to a new, or a request for a new medicine.
So
it might help to encourage those patterns to think about the different entitlements.
Indeed, and actually eight of the 10 requests where I said there were contingencies, they are for a new medicine. And the other two, one of the other ones is actually for a GP to GP one. So I think that's a little bit different actually, because
yeah.
it's almost a different membership categorization. I don't know, there's a bit of an odd setup, it's a bit of an outlier there. But yes, it's certainly something that I probably need to do.
So that was essentially my question.
Yeah.
I have to
yeah.
say that I think there's a difference between the legitimacy of a request that hasn't already previously been granted
exactly.
and one that's been made.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
I see Robert, we'll move around a bit in case anybody else has got a question. I'll come back to you then, Robert.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question I thought Alison was going to ask, which was that you may or may not have come across the paper Alison and I wrote in Social Science Medicine a year or two back, which was pointing to the lack of evidence that all the investment in interaction skills training with GPs had had any effect, because we were taking this kind of longitudinal look at data, which is something that CA often doesn't do. You know, we kind of everything is in a kind of continuous present. And what interested me was that you were looking at very similar phenomena to what Christian Heath had been looking at in the 70s and 80s, also with data from general practices associated with the Manchester Medical School. So you've got a very nice sort of natural experiment here in terms of, you know, can we actually see any differences in GP-patient interaction today compared with 40 years ago in pretty much the same locations with pretty much the same sort of patients? And it might just be really interesting. I mean, this may not be, this may be a bit of a distraction from your MD thesis, but as a kind of, you know, as something else that might be interesting to write. I'd certainly be interested to see the results, and I hope Alison would be as well. But
and I think there are some clear differences in practice style. I think, yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. So, yeah. So again, yeah, wouldn't be something I could do for my MD, because I love you know, the title. But yeah, that's something definitely that would be. You all want to get coffee and tea, don't you know? Okay.
Thank you once again. Thank you.